We're going to be talking about prayer tonight. Let's turn into Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Thank you by those listening by the way of the internet. Sometimes when I speak on prayer, I would rather just take the congregation through prayer. Many times we talk about prayer, and that's all that it is talk. We don't pray. And a lot of times we talk about revival, but that's all it is talking about revival, and we're not willing to pay the price for it. But I hope that there'll be some things that you can glean, some things maybe that have been lacking and areas that you can improve on in your prayer life through this message tonight. But Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Now this isn't a prayer that we are to pray. This isn't even the Lord's Prayer. It's probably more properly termed the disciples' prayer. But he gives you a pattern of how to pray. This isn't going to be the message, but he starts off, Our Father. Here's the person of prayer. Which art in heaven, the priority of prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, the provision of prayer. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the pardon of prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the protection of prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this is the praise of prayer. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for that secret place. I thank you for that place of prayer, that place of oneness and intimacy. Lord, I praise you that we can have direct access to you, that we don't have to pray to some other priest, but that we have the great high priest, that we have direct access to the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus Christ being our mediator. And Lord, as we've opened up your word, I would ask that once again you would open up our hearts. Lord, I don't know where those who are listening are at in their prayer life, but I pray that for every single one of us, we would step it up. Lord, that you would teach us to pray, that you would get us to this place of even closer and greater times in prayer than we've ever had before. Lord, may we see even more answers to prayer in these coming days than we've even seen in the past. Lord, make yourself so real to us. I ask, Lord, that you'd give us hearts of tenderness and hearts of obedience tonight, whatever it is that you speak to us about. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ that does make all of this possible. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Years ago, when I was in school here, we had the small Christian school. There was, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 students in the school and not many in the high school. And somebody got the bright idea to have a Valentine's banquet. Now, I've never liked Valentine's Day, not until I met Megan. Valentine's Day, I mean, I just didn't care for it at all. And then they wanted to have this Valentine's banquet. They wanted to make it formal. I don't mind wearing a tie and a coat now, but they wanted us to wear a tie, and I did not ever wear ties back then. And so I did not want it to be a formal banquet. And then they wanted this banquet at a place that's no longer in existence called Fresh Choice. Fresh Choice is a stupid salad place. Now, if you're a teenager, you know, would you really want a Valentine's banquet at Fresh Choice? No. Pizza Hut, yes. All right, we can go to Pizza Hut and have this, but not at Fresh Choice. So I didn't want to go to this Valentine's banquet for all of those reasons. And then there was one more reason why I really didn't want to go, was that there was a girl in the school that liked me at the time and would have relished in the thought of us going together. And of course, there was no way I was ever going to let that happen. So my friend Scott and I, we started talking and we're like, man, I don't want to go to this thing. I don't want to go to this thing either. So we devised a plan. So you know what? We're just not going to tell anybody. We're just not going to show up. We'll go to Scandia and we'll go play games. I thought, that sounds good. So I didn't say a single thing to anybody. But the word got out. Tim and Scott are not coming to the Valentine's banquet. And so Pastor Rogers calls us into his office, and I knew what he was going to say. He was going to say, you guys have to go to this Valentine's banquet. And so we go in there, and he says, now, guys, you are the spiritual leaders in our school. You set the example, and I have heard that you're planning on not coming to the Valentine's banquet. He says, I cannot force you to go. I'm like, whew, good. But I'm forcing you to go. And I'm like, oh, man. And so there was one other way that I thought I could get out of this Valentine's banquet, and that was this. In January, Pastor, this certain year, was very burdened for the church to fast and pray. And so every day of the month, there was somebody in our church that was fasting and praying. I signed up for that, and I was given the exact day of the Valentine's banquet. And I said, but Pastor, that's my day to fast and pray for the church. So I cannot come. And he says, you can come, just don't eat. And there was no way of getting out of it. He had us stay there for 30 minutes, and that was a long 30 minutes, going there to Fresh Choice, and I think we did go to Scandia after that. And so I look back at that now, and I think to myself, you know what, I thought that I was so spiritual back then. Well, I'm going to fast and pray for the church. Okay, I wasn't going to eat. But was my heart really into the praying for the church? No. And it's amazing how spiritual we think we are sometimes when we're really not. We see in our text is Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, it is a contrast to the previous verse, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. And oh, how easy it is for us to think of ourselves more spiritual than what we really are. We look here at this in our text of verse number 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest. And in this matter of prayer, there are five principles of prayer here, five aspects of prayer. And we see number one, the aspect of time. He says, when thou prayest. There needs to be a time in your day that you pray, that you seek the Lord. Someone said, I've only got a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Didn't ask for it, can't refuse it, must suffer if I abuse it. I've only got a minute, but all eternity is in it. Oh, there is time in our day, and it may be as you're driving down the road, it may be another time, but there ought to be a time in your day that you are seeking the Lord in prayer. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God has us to pray all throughout the day, to pray without ceasing, to be in constant communion with the Lord. But there needs to be a time in your day specifically that you set aside saying, I'm going to spend this time in prayer. I'm going to seek His face. We see the aspect of a time, letter A, make it a priority. Make it a priority in your day. We have a priority for many things in our lives. We need to have a priority when it comes to prayer. I was in a car full of guys, and someone in the back seat said, someone's deodorant's not working. I thought, oh, great. I know it's not mine because I didn't put any on. And I'm like, come on, man, you know? And I hope that you've taken a shower. I hope you've brushed your teeth, very recently. And you've made those things a priority, but have you made it a priority in your life to pray? Have you put Him first in your life? You see, it's so easy for us to get distracted. I I think of Martin Luther. He said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Now, I think we live in a more fast-paced, busy society than back then. But he says, I have so much to do, I can't get it done without God. I have to pray. I had a wicked thought a week or so ago. I didn't go on with this thought, but I had the thought, you know, it's really going to be a busy time. Maybe we shouldn't have the prayer times for the 2 minute warning. That thought came to my mind. I thought, you know what? Nope, that's a wicked thought. God, we have to have God on it. And when you get even busier in your life, you ought to set aside that time to pray. I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now, people are wired differently. I think of my friend, Evangelist Rich Tozer. He's a night owl. His most productive times in prayer are at night. But he also has a time in the morning that he seeks the Lord. Some of you, you're morning people. You need to seek the Lord first. Ralph Cushman wrote a poem. He said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the Spirit lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed with perfect calmness o'er a troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. You need to seek God first in your day. A lot of times we seek other things first. We seek news. We seek Facebook. We seek all these other things. We need to seek God first. Put Him first in your life. And Ian Bounds said, a preacher is not worth his salt if he does not spend 2 hours in prayer every day. Now, maybe you're not there. You don't pray 2 hours a day. But you know, it might be that if you get up 10 minutes earlier or 15 minutes earlier, it may change your whole day. There's times where maybe you've had such a frustrating day, things aren't going well, and then you are reminded, you know what, I didn't put God first in my day. It's amazing how many things change when we spend time with the Lord in prayer. Psalm 42 verse 1, as the hart of the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Samuel Chadwick said, the crying sin of the church is its laziness after God. Now, there are times I do have a passion for God, but God knows there are times where I have such a laziness after Him, such an apathy after Him. The crying sin of the church is its laziness after God, and that is revealed in your prayer life or the lack thereof. How is your thirst for God? Do you find yourself becoming cold and calloused? Get back in that prayer closet. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. I believe it was Chess Carr that said this, one of those convicting quotes on prayer. A day without prayer is a boast against God. You don't pray, you're saying, God, I don't need You today. We don't pray for the 2 minute warning. We're saying, God, we don't need You in this meeting. We don't pray for the tent meeting. God, we don't need You in this tent meeting. We don't pray for our church services. We say, God, we don't need You in our church services. A day without prayer is a boast against God. And God says, my house should be called a house of prayer. That comes from praying people that have that quiet place, that secret place. So there's a matter of a priority when thou prayest, but then there's a pattern. There's a pattern God says this should be something you should be doing all the time. You should have this pattern in your life of prayer. The people know that you pray. Does your family know that you pray? My grandmother in San Leandro is known by her prayer life. her church, Heritage Baptist Church, and Pastor Alan Fong, that church has grown so much there in San Leandro, is doing so well. And many times throughout the years, I have heard this, and Pastor Fong attests to it. They say, "Tim, your grandmother is our secret weapon." And I said, "Well, how's that?" They said, "Your grandmother prays. She gets a hold of the ear of God. She prays for the ministry. She prays for the staff. She prays for the classes. She prays for the missionaries. She's known by her prayer life. Oh, how God has used her and the matter of prayer." I remember being at her house some years ago, and she said, "Tim, I believe there's two reasons why I'm still on this earth. One, I'm not afraid to witness for Christ." And she's not. You take her to a restaurant, she'll embarrass you. She'll go and talk to just about anybody, just telling every, that's her time to get out and give the gospel. Almost 93 years old. She says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I try to give the gospel as much as I can." And then she says, "The other thing is prayer." She says, "I wish I could do all the ministries I used to do," but she says, "I can't play the violin anymore. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't go out door knocking with the other people." She says, "I wish I could," but she says, I've learned that my ministry now is the ministry of prayer. Oh, that we all would enroll in the ministry of prayer. Praying for others. Here, this ought to be a pattern in our life. I think of Daniel. Daniel had that pattern of prayer. Psalm 86:3, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." This matter of prayer, we get attacked in this spiritual discipline more than any other spiritual discipline. Do you know that it's easier to come to church every Sunday morning than it is to have a consistent prayer life? It's easier to come to church even Sunday nights and Wednesday nights than to have a consistent prayer life. It's even easier to be consistent and going soul winning and even reading our Bibles than it is to have a consistent prayer life. We get attacked here more than any other place. The devil knows the power of prayer. And it's hard to pray. All kinds of distractions happen. And it takes work. It takes strength. Someone said you can work without praying, but you cannot pray without working. True praying requires strength. Colossians 4 and verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So we have this aspect of time. Oh, make it a priority. Make it a pattern in your life to pray. But then he says, "Enter into thy closet." Now we have the aspect of a place. Megan sang about that just a little bit ago. This is a specific place. This is a place that God wants to meet with you. I don't know where that place is for you. Perhaps you have your own little place at your home, and maybe it is in a closet, maybe it's in another room. Maybe you have a place outside, but there's a specific place that God wants to meet with you every single day. Now, as we travel, my place is different throughout the year. But I would say the most consistent place I've had it is in my car. That's where I know I could go, or in the rental car, wherever. And that's a place that God wants to meet with you. There's that specific place, this closet. Mark 1:35, Christ had a specific place, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite authors, said this: "What a man is in his prayer closet, that he is and no more." I truly believe that. What a man is in his prayer closet, that he is and no more. He went on to say that no man is greater than his prayer life. And I believe that as well. No man is greater than his prayer life. I remember speaking to an evangelist when I was getting started in evangelism, an older evangelist, and he says, "Tim, you get started in evangelism on your knees and you stay in evangelism on your knees." I'm nothing without prayer. This church is nothing without prayer. Your Christian life is nothing without prayer. Maybe you find yourself have become cold and calloused in prayer. God wants to revive that. There's things that He wants to do in and through you. I'm thinking of Peter and I were talking this afternoon, and he says, "You know, this morning at church, being outside," he says, "it was getting warm. And so I asked God," I said, "God, would you send a breeze?" And right then a breeze came. He says, that was just so neat. You know, to see that God wants to do that. God wants to answer prayer in your life every single day. He wants to show Himself strong. He wants to reveal Himself to you. And so this is a specific place. It's a special place. This place of prayer where you can drown out the world and to be shut in with God. I've been so blessed. I've had some wonderful times in church services. I've had some wonderful prayer meetings. But the best times I've ever had with the Lord have been alone with Him. Just Him and I. And that secret place. We have the aspect of time, the aspect of a place, and then we see the aspect of attention. He says, "When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." When you've shut the door, when you're giving Him the attention, sometimes it's good to have a pen and paper there and you go to the Lord in prayer, because if you needed to do something that day, you'll be reminded of it. So you just start writing it down. Oh man, you get in the prayer closet and you're like, "Oh, I need to do this today. I need to do this, 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 this." Just write it down. Because there's so many distractions. And we've got to shut the door. And praying is true praying. It's going to require strength. It requires wholeheartedness. That you're not going to be distracted by other things, that you're going to seek Him, and Him alone. I think of, John and Charles Wesley's mother, I believe, that she had 19 kids and she had an apron. And when the apron was pulled over her head, the kids knew, don't mess with Mom. Don't talk to Mom, because that was her secret place. That was her closet, just putting the apron over her head. Oh, there's a place and that God wants to meet with you, but then when we meet with Him, it needs to be wholehearted. Saying, "God, I'm going to maybe shut off the cell phone, shut off everything else, and get alone with God." Psalm 91, verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I think of when David said that, "God, You're my dwelling place." In essence, he's saying, "God, when I really feel like I'm at home, it's when I'm with You. You are when I really feel like I'm at home." Oh, we travel all over the place, and sometimes home doesn't feel like home, but when I get in that closet, shut that door, I'm just right at home with the Lord. Oh, there's that closet, that attention. "When thou hast shut thy door," eliminate the distractions. Pastor Rogers tells the story of, I think it was one of the Wesley brothers was talking to a man and said, "I don't get distracted when I pray." And he says, "Well, if you can pray for 5 minutes without being distracted, I will give you my horse." And says, "All right, sure." So they get on their knees and he begins to pray and he stops and he turns over to John or Charles, I don't know which one, and says, "Does that include the saddle too?" He already lost the deal right there. He got distracted. And it's so easy for us to get distracted. And so we've got to shut the door. Seek to eliminate the distractions. I was looking at an old answer to prayer book that I had from 2001. And I was looking at that before tonight. And I saw that one of my prayers got answered I was praying and there were a lot of distractions happening. I think it was in my car. A lot of things were happening outside. And I said, "God, would You just eliminate the distractions?" And He did. And it was just sweet to be reminded of that. Oh, eliminate those distractions. Psalm 31, verse 20 says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." God changed my life in the matter of prayer. Some years ago when I was at camp, at Camp Lucerne, and we had a leadership conference. It was a several-day thing, and it was teens that really wanted to serve God. It was a great time with Evangelist Morris Gleiser. And those that knew me back then, I'm very shy, quiet, and the youth pastor, Mark Maxwell at the time, he would ask me to pray just about every time, either before the service, to open up the service with the teens or when it was all done. And every single time I would shake my head, no. I'd go, "No, I'm not going to pray. I don't know how to pray in public. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'd be embarrassing." And so God had so worked in my heart at this camp and was showing me that I needed to preach my first message. And I got separated from our youth group, and I was placed with another youth group for the cabin devotions. This other youth group, I didn't know any of the kids there, didn't know the youth pastor. And so they're going around giving testimonies of what God had done in their hearts that day. And I'm sitting next to the youth pastor. And then he, you know, asked me my name. My name's Tim, and, you know, Sacramento Faith Baptist. And he says, what did God speak to you? How did God work in your heart tonight? Now, God, I'm already overwhelmed because God's telling me to preach the very first message. And I said, I'm speechless. He says, all right, well, since you're speechless, why don't you pray for us? And I wanted to say to him, excuse me, you don't know me, but I've never prayed in public, and I don't know how to do this, and, you know, I'm really shy and quiet. I couldn't explain that all to him. And so I began to pray, and I prayed what was on my heart. And that's when God taught me. You know how you pray? You pray what's on your heart. That's how you pray in public. You don't have to have some flowery prayer, all that other thing. Just pray what's on your heart. In private, go to the Lord, just pray with what's on your heart. You got a problem with somebody? Go take it to the Lord in prayer. You got a situation you need wisdom with? Go take it to the Lord in prayer. You're frustrated with the government? Go take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, we need to take all of these things to the Lord in prayer. Get that quiet place. Get into that closet. Shut the door and pour your heart out unto Him. And then we see the aspect of affection. He says, and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Pray to thy Father. I'm so glad that we have a Heavenly Father. Those of us that know Christ as our Savior, we have a Heavenly Father. We can go directly to Him. Now maybe you grew up and you didn't have a good father, but you do have one now. You've got a great Heavenly Father. There have been times in my life where I'm like, Lord, I really need my dad right now, but you're my Heavenly Father. Would you help me? And several times He's helped me with those things. Many times it's been with vehicle problems. But the Lord's helped me with those things. And He wants to do the same in your life. Oh, we have this affection, our Father. Romans 8 and verse 15. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, we can go to our Heavenly Father, and just like in the previous or the later verses here in chapter 6, that we spend time worshiping Him. There's times where my heart has grown cold and callous towards prayer. You know what helps to reignite that fire is to go back to the place of affection. Go back to the place of worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, your name is holy. God, you are exalted above all. Lord, there are those that in our world, they think they have power, but God, you have all power. You can take some of the Psalms. I like to take Psalm 93, where it talks about the Lord reigns and that He's mightier than the waters. I love to go to Psalm 8. And right now I'm just going through the whole book of Psalms. It's going to take me a long time to go through that. But to just spend time worshiping the Lord. I was listening before tonight, what's the song? I'd rather have Jesus. Oh Lord, you're sweeter than the honeycomb. Oh Lord, you are more beautiful. You're fairer than the lilies. I mean, you are everything that I want. You're everything that I desire. Sometimes one of my friends, he says, if I'm cold and calloused and I don't know what to pray, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says, I'll do that for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Just thank you, Jesus, until my heart gets warm again. Oh, this is a huge matter in the matter of prayer. Prayer is not just asking and receiving, though it is that. It's also spending time in worship and thanksgiving. I will set my timer and I'll say, okay, for the next 5 minutes, I'm not going to ask God for anything. You see, sometimes we get in a rut where we're always asking God. What happens if I always ask Megan for things? Do you think that she would really enjoy that? okay, ask her for a couple of things, but I'm not there just to ask her what she can do for me. No, This is a relationship. And I'm going to compliment her, and I'm going to tell her that I love her, and all of that. I'm going to just spend time with her. Not just seeking to ask her things. When's the last time you said, God, I'm not really wanting anything. I'm not really asking anything. I just want to spend time with you. I just want to be with you. James chapter 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. I was reading or listening to one of my old teachers, and he said that draw near is, the draw nigh is when you get close. It's like he says, when my grandson, he comes up and he just grabs my leg and holds on to my leg. He says, that's that draw nigh. He says, but then I'll pick him up and I'll just lay him upon my chest. And that's where I want to draw nearer to Him. And I remember those days with my grandpa getting into his arm, just wanting to be with him. Smell his clothes and hear his voice and feel his touch. We have a Heavenly Father that wants to draw near to us. He wants to get that closeness and that intimacy, that oneness. You see, that prayer time isn't just for you, but it's for Him. It's to spend time with Him. We have the aspect of affection. And then lastly, we see the aspect of reward. He says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is something you can trust, that you can count on. When's the last time you had an answer to prayer? When's the last time you prayed? I hope that it's been today. I hope that it's been recent. But God wants to answer prayer. I remember when I was a teenager and God working on my heart with a matter of prayer. And my mom and dad, godly Christians, my grandparents, first generation Christians. And I'd see God answer prayer. I'd hear it from my grandparents, how God was working in their life. And I would see it through my own mom and dad. I'd see it through Pastor Rogers and some others here in the church. And I began, you know what, I'm going to start my own prayer list. God, there's things I need from you. And I would go to God and I would just ask Him for things. I wouldn't tell anybody about it. And God would begin to answer those prayers. And I realized that this God was not just my pastor's God. That this God was not just my grandparents' God. This God was not just my parents' God. But this God is my God. The Lord is my shepherd. Sweetest word in that psalm, my shepherd. And I realized that this God was my God. He became very personal to me. Oh, God answers prayers in my life, in Megan's life, in Pastor's life, but God wants to answer prayers in your life. This aspect of reward, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's so many things in my mind going on right now. One, so often we pray in question marks when we need to pray in exclamation points. We need to pray believing and have faith and our prayers sometimes are so small and we have a big God. What are you asking that only God can do? What's on your impossible prayer list? Things that only God can do. Oh, we need to be praying bigger prayers. God wants to reveal Himself to us. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, in context, that speaks of the new earth, but have you ever had God do that? Where you had a need, you're about to pray about it, but it already got answered? I was in college, and I was in a car accident, hurt my back, and we had a little ways to walk to the campus. And my best friend, he was carrying my books at the time. And he says, Tim, you need to get a bike. And I said, Matt, I don't have money for a bike. And he says, Tim, you need to get a bike. And he says, they're on sale right now at Walmart for $60. He says, why don't you pray and ask God for $70 or $60? And he says, well, wait a minute, you got to tithe on that. And he says, pray for $70. And I said, Matt, why pray for $70 when I could pray for $100? We get to school and I check my box, and in my box was a letter from a lady at my church there in North Carolina, and inside that letter was $100 bill. I never even prayed about it, but God knew the need, and that bike was a great blessing. Oh, God wants to do those things. Even in this time that we have now, sometimes we think, oh, if we just had time to pray, if the world would just stop, then we could get to praying. Well, that kind of has happened, but have we really prayed? Have we really taken advantage of some extra time that we've had to seek the Lord? Dr. A.C. Dixon of Spurgeon's Tabernacle said this, "When we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do." And so on. He says, "I'm not disposed to undervalue any of these things in their proper place," but he added, "when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do." God wants to do the exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This matter of prayer, we get attacked so often, every day. Our church is under attack in the matter of prayer. We've got to guard it. We've got to make it a priority to spend time with Him in prayer, this aspect of time. We need to make it, get to that place of, that secret place, that closet. And then we have the aspect of attention. Oh, eliminate the distractions. Get alone with Him. And then the aspect of affection. It's not just asking and receiving, but it's spending time with Him. It's worshiping Him. It's giving Him thanksgiving. And then the aspect of reward. Oh, God wants to do so many things through your prayer life. I'm not talking about mine. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about your prayer life. There's so many things God wants to do through your prayer life. I have here something that's precious to me, not as precious as the plate as this morning, but this is precious to me. It's my college ring. Megan got this for me after I graduated college. I was on the family plan in college. It took me 6 years to get a 4-year degree. I knew that was going to take me 5. I had planned for 5. I'm not studious. I'm a B and C type of a guy, and I struggled through school. Now, there wasn't one class at Ambassador that I thought this was a wasted class. Every class I enjoyed that was profitable, and some classes I enjoyed so much, I took them twice. I failed them. One of those was Greek. And I remember Mrs. Heyer, she would pray, she'd write me letters, and she says, "Tim, I'm praying that you'll pass Greek." And eventually I did, and I took a lot of other classes and things, music theory, whatnot. And I remember that night that I graduated from college, and I was reminded of the times when I knew that I was failing Greek in another class, and I was in my car just crying to the Lord. And I wasn't very emotional, not until I met Megan, but I was an emotional person, and I'd say, "God, you haven't called me here to fail. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it without you." And I had some special times with the Lord in college, some special places, and this ring reminds me of that. But I remember that night of graduation, everything was over, and went to go hug my mom. My mom's crying, and we're just hugging and embracing, and she says, "Tim, I didn't think you would ever graduate from college." Thanks, Mom. You know? Thanks for the support, you know? No, but you know what? I wasn't sure either. But I knew God had called me. And I knew that if God called me, and if I was obedient to Him, eventually I would graduate, and I did. And this ring is precious to me because it reminds me of those prayer times. It reminds me of those special and sweet times that I had with the Lord. Several years ago, I was going to go put my ring on in the morning and I couldn't find it. And I'm looking all over the place. And maybe you've done this before. You can't find something, so you ask God. I mean, God knows where everything is, right? And so, okay, God, where is my ring? And I'm looking around, I can't find it. I said, "Megan, can you help me find my ring? Do you know where it's at?" And we're searching everywhere. We're searching all over the apartment, and I go in the car, I'm searching all over the car, I can't find it. And so I put it on my prayer list. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll probably turn up tomorrow or the next day or so. And so I begin to pray about this ring. "Lord, help me find my ring. I don't know where it's at. God, you know how precious this is between you and me and the times of prayer. And Lord, how it reminds me of those things." And I was so passionate to have this, to get this ring back. And I kept searching all kinds of places and I couldn't find the ring. A whole week went by and I never found the ring. A week turned into several weeks. Several weeks turned into a month. Some month, then it was not just one month, it was a few more months. And months turned into years. And I remember praying every day, Lord, I really would like to find my ring. I mean, I could get another ring, but God, this is the one that's special to me. And one night, we have one of these couches that was given to us. You have a pull-out bed. And I never had seen it before. I'm like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just pull this out and just see what it looks like. So I pull it out, and right then my ring dropped to the ground. And I thought back to that morning, and I prayed for that ring. But you know how I was praying for that ring? God, help me find my ring. Go to the next thing. I wasn't very passionate at all. And I saw that ring, and now this ring not only reminds me of those intimate times, but this ring reminds me to keep on praying. Don't quit praying. You got something that maybe you're burdened for, you're not seeing anything happen, don't stop praying. Keep on praying. Stay in that prayer closet. Make it that aspect of time. Put it as a priority. Find that place with God. You already know it, I'm sure. Get alone. Get the distractions removed. Put your attention upon Him. Spend time with Him, loving Him. And let Him see. Let you see Him do some great things, some great answers to prayer. I don't know where you're at in your prayer life, but it's time to step it up. It's time for Faith Baptist Tabernacle to step up our prayer life, to get closer to Him than we've ever have before. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.